Tomorrow I'll invent those blueprints. Tomorrow I'll start.
What's going on, people? It's your boy Corey. And my man Mr. Kirk.
What's up?
And welcome back to Schemes Come True, people. What will you do tomorrow? What will you do today to achieve your creative schemes? I'm Corey. That's Kirk. And we got a special, special guest in the studio today, Cal Duran. What's going on, Cal?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, you know, chilling. Yeah. On a Sunday night.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you to everyone that's listening.
Yeah.
So I sent Corey your Instagram profile earlier this week after, I reached out to you, I guess, earlier this week after coming across your stuff via Meow Wolf. So we definitely wanted to have you on.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah, for sure. Got some neat stuff there.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, like your creative origin story, if you will.
Yes. Your tail.
Well, first off, I want to do some land acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Colorado, and I just want to pay land acknowledgement to the Ute, the Cherokee, the Arapaho, the Pueblo, the Hopi, any natives that loved and gave their strength and heart into this land. Thank you. But yeah, my origin story. So I grew up kind of in a limbo with my culture, my cultural identity. My mom was adopted and my father really never around, in and out of jail. But he has a lot of Mexican roots. And my mom, her side of the family, is East Indian and Native American. So we never really grew up with that side of the culture. So art has been this way to kind of find how my cultures parallel with each other, how kind of all indigenous cultures parallel with each other. And I see a lot of visions when I meditate or when I'm in ceremony or when I'm actually creating art. And I just honor the vision, create it into reality, into a vessel, into a being. And most of my work, all of my work, is just to honor spirit, honor our ancestors, honor our past, honor the ancient, and bringing that into the new, finding new weaves of our origins, discovering ourselves, through the imagination. So, yeah.
Very cool. So, is there any place, like, I guess, how do you prepare to when you sit down to create something? Like, is there a specific, do you like to go out, you know, in nature to kind of get yourself centered, or is there what's the process there, I guess?
Oh yeah. So I mostly work with clay. So yeah, I didn't really go to art school or anything. I found art in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had a great art teacher, and I barely graduated high school. I would just stay in the art room and create. And and I won a lot of awards in the Scholastic Art and Writing Awards, which is a national competition for high schoolers and teens. But yeah, but clay is one of the oldest mediums on earth. It incorporates all the elements, earth as it is earth. And then it goes through the firing process, the air, which dries it, and water. And it's just really a way I feel to really communicate with the ancestors. And when I get a vision, I see like our ideas, anybody's ideas are floating in the imagination and they're floating above us. And when we have that spark of inspiration, we grab one of those ideas and it comes to us. And I feel like it's our opportunity and our kind of commitment to embrace those ideas. And if we don't, if we don't really like embrace them with open arms, those ideas will just kind of float away. So when I see one of those ideas, those messages, in my opinion, from spirit, I see it and I'm like, message is heard, message is received. And I don't ever really draw things out before I do it. I just kind of let the clay kind of create what I saw and let it go where it needs to go. And yeah, just really trust and surrender to the creative flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Clay. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's a, yeah, it's like that ultimate, that first kind of medium, like that idea of making 3D objects from just, you know, the dirt, the mud, the clay, and like you said, giving back to the earth, or just kind of really representing, you know, all of us, you know, where we come from, is just like that kind of primordial, you know, element that we can just kind of sculpt and create things from. And so that's like, damn.
it's very connected. Yeah. Instinctual. I'm also an educator. I teach children, but to just watch them when they're creating with clay and to see how, you know, like their intuition strikes in, like that knowledge from our ancestors lays inside of our blood. And I feel like, you know, we've been so disconnected as a people from our culture with colonization and all this other shit. And it is an opportunity for us to really connect again, to find our roots, because our ancestors' knowledge is our knowledge. Like, we walk in their footsteps and we're creating, you know, a new story in a new way. It needs to be documented through art. And yeah.
Where do you like source your materials from? Do you like just kind of go around and like really like go for very, very natural clay, or do you like get some from the store?
I mean you could get natural clay, but it's a process, and it's mostly comes from the lakes or river banks. But no, I support a local shop in Denver called Stone Leaf, but yeah, I mostly work with red clay. I just like how it stains my hands and it just
Yeah, it feels less like kind of manufactured, or like less like that, just like, you know, oh, here's the gray, like kind of thing. But that red is like, that's that natural, because I was looking at the page and I was like, yeah, it's like that natural stuff. I'm like, he really gets in there. I like that.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I guess thinking about, it's been a very long time since I've messed around with any clay, but is it almost like there's an exchange there as the clay kind of stains your hands? So it, as you work with the clay kind of works on you too?
Yeah, for sure. And it gets in all the lines in my hands, and I don't know, it just feels like the earth and it feels right. And just the whole process of ceramics is really amazing. And, you know, just, and then putting it in a fire and just watching it really come to life. It's really cool.
That's very cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Do you have like a regular studio space that you work out of, or is it just kind of wherever you get struck by inspiration?
Yeah, I have a studio here in Denver. I've been there almost 6 years.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's called Recreative Denver. It's a nonprofit, and in the front is a storefront of all donated art supplies, and then there's about 8 studios in the space, and then there's a kind of community wood shop. So yeah, kind of like a collective, and then I have 2 kilns, and yeah, it's a little space, but it does me well, and it allows me, it's right on the Santa Fe Art District in Seventh and Santa Fe. So during First Fridays, people could come and walk through, and it's been really great.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. I'll put something in the show notes about that, like a link to their site and stuff too, for sure, to make sure that they get some recognition. Thank you. Yeah, no problem. That's part of what we do, is trying to, you know, give people exposure, but also connect people together. So yeah, I'm always happy to, especially for an organization like that. Give them some extra boost if we can.
Mm-hmm. I'd say so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I see you do quite a bit of like faces and stuff. And I think there was like a heart in one of the posts that you had. I may be wrong about that, but is that like your main, you like to do mostly kind of more like the human form, or is it kind of a mix of like whatever you're feeling, whatever the vibe is and all that stuff?
I do faces a lot. I see faces in everything. Yeah.
I love faces.
They're really universal. But I like to add like kind of the sacred elements that are universal in everyone. So like the skeleton, the skull, as you know, we're all on the same path. We all have death at the end of our journey. And I always like to incorporate that, as I feel like that's the ground, that's who we are, that's the soil of us, that's the bones. So I usually do a skull, I usually do a stars a lot, to connect to our star family. I believe that we are from the stars, and we are interwoven into the galactic families of who we are. So I always do stars. I do a lot of roses, as roses are one of the most high vibrational flowers on earth. And they just really connect. Like when you smell a rose, it's just really, it brings us back to who we are. The heart, we all have a heart.
Most of us. I
feel like at these times, as we're expanding and growing, it's time to focus on our heart and to heal our heart. And the image of a heart is like transcending in all cultures. And just, you know, the sun, the moon. I do a lot of trees, a lot of animals, just like kind of bringing in the earth again, and, you know, really paying homage to all of the things that keep us together, even though we might not see it regularly.
Yeah, I like that. It's like all like, it's like you're not making like automobiles and like buildings and stuff. It all has to do with the very natural, you know, things that we deal with, just organisms and all that stuff, and natural history in a way. So yeah, it goes hand in hand.
Yep. I really like that idea, like you were talking about earlier, about just the way that we have a collective imagination and tapping into that kind of collective imagination. And it at the best of times, I know I feel this way, but like, I don't make art so much as I write. That's my creative expression, I guess. And I know something is good when it feels like I didn't have the thought, where it's like you're the receiver for whatever it is, whatever the creative impulse is.
Undo it or whatever.
Yeah. I love that feeling and that just idea of like not only creativity, but consciousness, that we're just receiving from somewhere else. We're kind of like tuning into that right radio station, and you find people who are on the same frequency as you. And those are the people that you connect with, because they experience the world and reality and consciousness in a similar way.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've realized, especially teaching and, but not having any expectations. I feel like sometimes I don't like drawing out my pieces, because it is not always going to end up being what I drew out. And, you know, I think sometimes we have such high expectations for ourselves and we see this vision in our head and we want it to like perfect it exactly, but we're not paying attention to letting the art form kind of take the role, take the seat and drive us where he wants to go. And letting go of expectations in art and not really worrying about where it's going to end up, but really just creating it because you want to, because you love to, because you need to, because you have to. Because I think all of that gets in the way sometimes of, oh, is this going to make money or is this going to, you know, and I mean, we all need to be supported and it'd be nice to be totally supported in art, but we are supported. We are supported because it, at the end of the day, I always think art heals, you know, any art form, dance, music, and writing, any passion that we have is an outlet for us to heal and heal our ancestors and heal our own trauma. So.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the things that we've kind of learned through this process as we've talked to people is that it's never, no matter how alone you are while you create, ultimately it's a way to connect with people and to connect people together. So, go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't have anything. I was just agreeing.
Yeah, we talk a lot about that struggle with expectation and the idea or getting hung up on the fact that the idea that you have, like for me, like the, you know, story I envision in my brain is not necessarily the one that always translates onto the page, or with Corey, like the image that you generate in your brain doesn't match the one on the page. I mean, that's honestly why I quit drawing in any capacity when I was younger, because like I can never get this to match and I can't figure out how to get it to match. And it just took all the fun out of it for me. So I stopped doing it. But I mean, how do you push through that when you create? Because I mean, like I said, that's something that both of us get hung up on all the time.
I mean, I used to like really struggle with that and especially with clay, there's a lot of things that you learn. Sometimes it can explode, it cracks, it breaks often. So learning from your mistake and cycling through them, that sometimes, it didn't work out, but how are you going to fix it? How are you going to make it work? How are you going to, you know, still, I always feel sad if I've just kind of let a piece go, like just abandon it, you know, it's not fair. It's not, and it's just sitting there waiting for me. I mean, the expectation part is that, I just let it happen. I mean, I just let the medium kind of let it live, let it flow through me. Have a kind of a clear picture, but not like strict bones and not strict rules against of what I need to do. And I mean, some people, I'm not really a perfectionist in that way. I kind of like it, my stuff to be a little bit more raw and a little bit rough, not as smooth, just because that's just who I am and that's my style. But and I admire people that like want to get it right, but my brain doesn't work that way. So when I try to do that, when I'm like, okay, I need to measure this, I need to measure that, I need to make sure that this dies and this and this and that, it just, I get frustrated. So yeah. I go back to how I work, how I trust my process. So you have to trust your process. And when I stray, that's sometimes when I'll be like, oh, that's not working.
So. Yeah. I think that like lends itself well to, so having like more of that artist's hand in your work lends itself to clay, especially with the subject matter that you're dealing with is, you know, all these natural elements, you know, us, you know, skin, bones, or, you know, the sun, the moon and all that. It's like, you know, No one is like perfectly sculpted, you know, unless you're like, you'd have some work done, right? But the idea of like, you know, we have scars, we have just blemishes and, you know, other things like that. We're not, you know, we're all come in different shapes and sizes, like leaving a little bit of like maybe a fingerprint like on certain things or something's a little bit rough, you know, helps to really make the art, you know, what it is, especially with the clay and all that stuff, or even like drawing or painting or, you know, whatever. So,
well, yeah, and it's activating. And it takes courage. It takes courage to really sit down and go for it. I know a lot of artists struggle, or even kids. I'm like, it takes courage to be like, hey, I'm gonna show up today. Like, you have to show up to the imagination. You know, like, it's not just gonna, it's not gonna come and be like, hey, draw me. It's no, you have to show up. Sometimes it's hard. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, in everyday life, we have all our things, but I make sure to make art every day. Like, I just have to, even though sometimes I don't want to. It's like, even for 5 minutes, I'll sit and draw and just let it out and practice, because that's how we're going to learn. And just like DNA, like all of our ancestors are in our DNA. Like, I think every day for all of the creators in our past lines, in our DNA that have done the work too, and that is thriving in our blood, and that give us that courage to go on.
Yeah. No, I definitely been feeling that lately, just because I've been a little on and off, and I just like want to stay on. And there are days where I'm just like, man, I hate what I'm doing. And I think that erasing is a lot more frustrating than like, I don't know. There's something about like, I feel like clay is a little bit more forgiving, because like, you're like, oh, I kind of messed up, but you can just kind of keep working at it with your hands. Like, that's a good feeling. But like erasing, like for me, is like the most frustrating thing. Cause I'm like, damn, like this didn't work out. That didn't work out. But just like, keep on going, you know, imagination is not just going to be like, yeah, what's up? It's like, you have to really conjure it from your mind and like stick in it. So that's like, those are solid words right there to live by, for sure. I like that.
And sometimes I draw with a marker instead of a pencil, because it allows me to just go with the flow, you know, like, oh, I messed up. All right, how do you go into this segue? How do you go into this path and then make it work? And I mean, there's something drawing with a pen where you can erase it, and that's okay. Yeah. Some things don't need to be erased, but they just need to continue and move on and go.
Yeah. Lean into it. The discomfort, the permanent nature of things. But you can still correct them. You can still kind of fix them if you want to, or like, you know, like I said, leave it in. So
yeah.
That makes it less stress inducing and less like aggravating. It's like, whatever, like it's fine. Just let it be there.
You know? Yeah. That's true. It's like being in your joy with art. I mean, it's always gonna have like a love and hate relationship, but when you really just find joy in it again, beauty and why you're doing it, and really loving it, because these are the gifts. These are the gifts that you've received in any imaginative art form, and beauty and passion, like, those are the gifts that we need to receive, and we need to receive them. But sometimes it's hard to receive because we just have all this self-doubt and all of this stuff that we've been taught. And
so do I. I was writing some thoughts down. I finished I finished reading a book today. I did not finish writing a book today. Like, what? No. Hold on. They'll be like, be shooting flares into the sky. Yeah, it'll be a big deal when that actually happens.
Oh, we gotta go up, baby.
Yes, sparklers and maybe a citation from the police for being naked in the street or something when the book finally gets probably finished. But anyways, I finished reading a book by one of my favorite authors today, And I was thinking about the just what I had read, and it was a he had written about these musicians, and it was told from, you know, three or four different perspectives and their views on the creative process. And there was something in there where it's a fictitious band that was around the end of the 60s. And somebody asked one of them, or they asked them as a band, like, do you think songs can change the world? And nobody wanted to answer. And there's like one guy in the band who's very, I don't know, he exhibits a lot of like autism spectrum kind of behavior where he never knows when he's saying the right thing, how to read people or whatever. But he starts to talk about how, you know, thoughts change the world and art is thought and imagination. And so he gives this like roundabout answer, but eventually comes to like, yes, so a song, you know, can change the world. And he hits some lyrics from some various, you know, protest songs from the 60s and things like that. And seeing like over the course of the novel, the different characters' frustrations with trying to write and their process really kind of stuck with me. And one of the things I loved, partially because it's something that I do, is that like they all I mean, it's the 60s, they don't have smartphones or anything like that. So they're running around with notebooks. And when an idea or for a line or something pops into their head, they write it down. And it's these little, like just little sparks of imagination. They just write down. And then eventually those maybe become something more, or maybe they just, it's just that one line forever. You never know. But for right now, where I'm at in my creative journey, like those days where it feels like, you know, you've tuned in and you're on that, you know, whatever frequency for an hour, 2 hours, whatever, and you're the words kind of flow out of my pen or whatever, those are very few and far between. But it makes the days when it's like chipping away at a rock with a toothbrush to get words on the page easier, because I know I can get there again. You know what I mean? Yep. Like I know I can tap into that frequency again. I know those flow days will happen more and more the more I show up and chip at the rock with my stupid toothbrush. So yep. I don't know. It was a good feeling. It was daunting, yep. But it's a good feeling.
It is. Yeah.
I see it when we're creating. It's almost burning our karma every time we create. We're stepping in, we're shutting off, we're, you know, yeah, it's like that, what you just said, like chipping away at that rock. But the more you chip away, the more you chip away, the more you chip away, you're learning. Mm-hmm. You're kind of poking the imagination. It's like, yeah, you're just learning and growing and kind of embracing even those moments where, you know, it's hard to connect, and even embracing those, because those are just going to help us even get further and further in.
Definitely makes me appreciate the good days, those hard days where it feels like I know how to write a sentence, but apparently I don't, because this doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
No, dude, I feel that. Like some days I'm just like, so I throw out all the sketchbooks and all the art supplies and be like, no. This is trash. But it happens, man. It really happens, you know. Like I was telling you the other day, I was just like, dude, I can't art right now. Like, yeah, like just try to sit down and do like a quick 10-minute sketch, and like I did it, and I'm like, yeah, like you arted. I'm like, yeah, but it sucks. So, beating myself up, but it comes and goes. But
yeah, you know, but you did it. That's the important thing.
I did
thing.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Cal, what's like? You know, you've been working. You've been working as an artist for quite some time now. What's like one thing that you know today that you wish you could have told yourself in high school when you're the kid in the art room?
To just trust the process, that the art world is a crazy, crazy place sometimes. And a lot of people will want to change you and conform you into what they want as an artist. And that you just gotta stay true to yourself. Always remember that art is here, is an ally, is our friend, and just to go with it, just to be true. Sure. Second guess. Don't try to change. Don't try to just be myself through it all.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Flip side of that coin. Over the course of your development as an artist, what's the worst piece of advice you've received?
Bum, bum, bum.
The worst advice?
Yeah.
That I could give myself?
No. You've received, like, somebody's, pulled you aside at an opening or something and been like, you should do, you know what I mean? Like,
The worst thing. I think it was when I was trying to go to art school and like presenting my little portfolio, didn't know really how to take pictures of my art, you know, they were like far away and like horrible lighting. But yeah, the people just being so judgmental because you have to like submit your resume and they're just like, these are just not going to work, you know? Like, how are you going to sell these? How are you going to make a living off these? And how, you know, like, you have to think about the buyer first and how is this going to sell? And for me, it was just like, yeah, art school's not for me. And I never went. Because, first, I didn't want to be in debt. And second, it was like, it just felt like they wanted to change me at that point. And I was already doing a lot of my own work already and showing in galleries and in my process. And I just was like, no, like, that's not what art's about for me. I don't really care, like, who this is going to sell to. Like, the universe is going to take my art where it needs to go. And I realized that, my art will be placed to the people that need it and want it and that'll love it and hold on to it and cherish it. And
solid. Yeah.
I know, I mean, a lot of us got caught on the you have to go to college track very early on.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you had asked me when I was in high school, like, yeah, you have to go, like, there was that stigma on anybody that didn't. And I mean, there are plenty of times where it's like, I wish I had waited to go. Yeah. I wish I had studied something different. Like, yeah, it's, I think we did a lot of people a disservice by just harping on that and making, you know, kind of that indoctrination that you have to go no matter what it is you're studying, no matter if you don't, even if you don't know what you want to do, like, yeah, go figure it out and accrue a whole shit ton of debt.
Yeah.
And then still not know. And they're like, so I definitely can sympathize with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about that right now, I'm like, oh God, yeah. Gross.
Yucky.
Yes. Yeah, it's
let's talk about something else.
That's right. Yeah, it's a little more lighthearted. What are your thoughts on donuts?
Yeah.
Donuts? I like donuts. Yeah.
Hey.
Do you have a favorite kind of donut?
Maple.
Okay.
Maple. Ooh.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
So, I mean, I don't have a lot of... What's your favorite donut place in Denver, I guess, would be the next question.
Donut place in Denver. I like the Lamar's.
Okay.
Lamar's donuts on 6.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Or the Voodoo. Voodoo's pretty good.
Oh, Voodoo.
We've had a couple of places. I know, like, feel like two or three places have opened in like the last 6 months. There's one.
Wait, what?
It's on South Broadway. There's another one on Lincoln that I'm going to have to try. Donuts are a big part of Corey's life. Yeah. And for some reason, they have also been, unfortunately, a very large part of my life the last 3 weeks. I can't seem to... I'm from Western New York, so I went home to visit my family because I haven't seen them in quite some time. And I was inundated with just bread, basically, the whole time I was home. I don't think I ate anything green. And Ridge, there's a place from where Corey and I are both from called Ridge Donuts. I think I ate probably half my body weight in Ridge Donuts.
Damn, boy.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not a good situation.
Are you sure? So, like, because I have not had that many donuts in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah,
for sure. So. Jeez, I think donuts are a big part of your life.
yeah, it's not good. I'm starting to look like one. So,
but
good to know that.
What's the fascination with donut?
You're going to have to ask Corey. He's sort of like subliminally infected my brain with the desire for fried circles of dough.
That's so good, Cal. So good. Like, tasty little treats, man. Tasty little treats. I've been obsessed with them since I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I haven't stopped. I'm not going to stop. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get it. You'll see.
have you made your own donut?
No, I've never made my own ever. Wow. Yeah. Wow. No. I never have. I've never tried to.
You should try.
I should try once. Well, here's the thing, though. If I do that once, that's not going to be my last time. Because once I make donuts at home, it's over, man. It's over. No more greens, no more beans, no more juices.
No more leaving the house. Yeah.
I won't need to. I won't need to. Oh.
I'm gonna come visit. There's gonna be a deep fryer in your bedroom.
Yeah. It's gonna be recording equipment and a deep fryer.
That's right. Brandon's texting me. We haven't seen him in months. He won't come out of there.
So I have a problem. So that's why I don't make donuts at home. It'd be a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I've seen the future of that, and it's not as bleak. It's very bleak.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, they're just tasty little treats. They come in all sorts of varieties and such. And I think everyone should at least have a couple donuts before they die. It's just, it's a thing. It's a thing. That's a universal thing.
Yeah.
Just wrap it all around.
That's right.
I might have some this week, actually, come to think of it.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm happy thinking about it.
Oh, boy. Shouldn't have said anything.
I know. Ask a question. Go.
So, Cal, if people want to find you, they want to connect with you, where can they do that?
Yes. I have a website. It's called artbycal.com. And I have an Instagram. It's Volar, V-O-L-A-R, Duran, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just finished up a permanent room installation at the new center. So that's opening up September 17th.
Hey, that's my birthday.
Yay!
Dope.
So, it's been a long process. It was about an 8-month installation process. So
damn,
finished that. Yeah, and the whole room is for me, was to honor the indigenous tribes, animals, and spirits of Colorado and the Americas. And there's about 52 ceramic heads protruding out of the wall.
Damn.
They all have mirrors inside their eyes, kind of being the light, and they're all coming from these sculptural corn walls. Just really honoring this land and kind of activating people to kind of look at their own heritage and their own identities through their land and light and everything.
Yeah, that sounds sick.
Yeah, I'm going, I think I have tickets for September 22nd is when I'll be going. So I will definitely have to post some pictures. But what was that? Yeah, for sure. What was that like? Like, were you, I don't know. I've only ever seen kind of the product as opposed to the process. I'm very jealous of that. I love the concept of what, you know, Meow Wolf as a group does. So give us a little, like, I don't know. I'm picturing like the Willy Wonka chocolate factory in my brain being in there. So
I mean, they were great to work with, but no, it wasn't like that at all. It was a live construction site. So it was really, it was hard, especially during COVID. Like, it was like January. So like still like getting a new president, still going through that process. So yeah, it was like working in a live construction site. So yeah, it was really, really helped me grow to really focus and ground myself into this kind of chaos, you know, around you. All this, you know, construction going on and having to install and timelines and documentation. But at the end of it, like, I just got to see, we finished our lighting and sound, and just to see everything clean and everything, you know, and all of it kind of coming together. It was really beautiful to see, because when you're just doing it, you're kind of just in your own world trying to get this, you know, your room done. We weren't really able to go and experience other rooms because of COVID, you know, and
so
yeah, I mean, it was good. And just knowing that it's going to be activating, you know, a lot of people and hopefully influencing and sparking other people's imagination is really powerful. So, but yeah, the room is on the fifth floor, right when you come off the elevator. So it's really cool.
Sweet. I'm excited to see it in person. I've enjoyed the pictures that you've posted and some of the stuff that I've seen. And but I'm, you know, I'm excited to get in there and actually see it.
I wish experience I could.
It. You can. You got to come visit.
Well, I'll be in Vegas at that point for my birthday. But we'll see if I make it.
Oh yeah, you got to go to the one in Vegas. You dingus.
Oh wait, what?
You got to go to Omega Mart.
Yeah, in Vegas.
Tell me more.
Oh, we'll talk.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's they just finished it before the one they finished in Denver, but yeah, it looks really, really beautiful.
Okay, sweet. Maybe I will get to see something then.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us, Cal. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's been really fun talking to you.
Yeah. Very enlightening.
Thank you.
All right. Well, are there any other final thoughts you want to leave the listeners with?
Honor your ancestors.
That's a good one.
We stand on their shoulders, and they lift us up, and they are with us every step of the way. So, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Have a good night.
No problem. You too.
Okay.
Bye. All right, Kirk, take us out, my friend.
All right. People, if you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Instagram at Schemes Come True Network. And if you want to help us keep the lights on, keep the guests flowing and all those other fun things, check us out over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/schemescometrue. We got bonus content over there. And I promise, the Samurai Pizza Cat drinking game rules will be posted this week. They'll be up. They're ready. They'll be ready to rock. So if you're interested in those things, or if you just want to help us out, head on over to patreon.com/schemescometrue and choose to join and keep us supported. And yes. As always, thank you to our patrons, Peter B. Sean J. Seymour Butts.
The Butts.
Barden Creative.
Barden.
The now officially married and hopefully not complaining too much about the duration of the donut content, Mr. Cam Burnett.
Cam Burnett.
AKA the Young Gun.
Young Gun.
And as always, the very, very busy, but ridiculously prolific when it comes to posting ads and all sorts of nonsense around Rochester, Mr. Sigs Online himself, Jake. We'll talk to you soon, people. Thanks for hanging with us.
See y'all later. Bye.